Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us. Whatever station you're tuned into or online, welcome to the program. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here at Oak Grove. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon, we're glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great supporter of Southern Miss Athletics and a big supporter of ours and people we're very grateful to have on the Eagle Hour team. It is a great place to cater your next event, whether it be for your church or your business or a family get-together. Kelly and I have both used them several times, never disappointed. Right, Xander?
Indeed so.
That's right. All right, we're glad to have you on the show today. Turner Swistak is a local product of Oak Grove High School who has pitched for the Tennessee Volunteers and now Louisiana Tech. We're going to get his take on college baseball a little later in the hour, but we want to kick off the show. Man, we're delighted to have former athletics director Bill McGillis with us on the radio show. AD here from 2013 to 2016, and a man that I would have to say was always very kind to us media types. And I can understand how difficult that may be sometimes, Mr. McGillis, but you always had a smile on your face, and you always talk to me whenever I ask you to.
Well, Bob, it's great to be with you guys, and to hear your pipes again is a joy. And Kelly and Dima, it's great to be with you guys too. Dima, I love your coverage. And, you know, I'm still a Southern Miss fan, not just a former AD. So I follow the program closely. And, you know, of course, two of my kids are alums and, you know, special affinity for baseball, but it's not limited to baseball. That's for darn sure.
Hey, before we get into the all the things we want to talk to you about, what's your best memory of Southern Miss, Mr. McGillis?
Well, when you asked that, the first thing that came to my head, I'll just go with that, was Todd Monken football, that surge in the third year, going to Louisiana Tech and kicking their tail. You know, that was an amazing time. And, you know, that whole evolution, the rebuilding of the program, and I was blessed, fortunate that when I arrived, Todd and I spent those 3 years together, and then of course I was there for fourth year with Jay. But you know, to see it go where it was when we got there, and losing, you know, those first 10 or 11 games of Coach Monken's first year, and then going to UAB and winning that final game in that first season to break a 22 or 23 game losing streak between the Ellis Johnson's 1 year and then Todd's first year, that was a moment I'll never forget. And then riding the bus back from Birmingham and pulling onto campus with a police escort and a lot of people there, you know, that was a great memory. There were a lot of great friendships, memories of people and those relationships and team success and a lot of different sports. And so, you know, I've just got a lot of really good memories. But that, I think that football rebuilding was really special. I think Todd Monken, you know, is one of the great football coaches in America. And so the fact that we had him for three seasons was tremendous. And a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's a remarkable coach, no question.
Who had that one-handed catch against Louisiana Tech in that game? I remember that game when you mentioned it, and I just remember that one-handed catch against them. And I'm sitting here, I was looking on my phone trying to remember who had that catch. Do you remember?
I can't remember, but the thing that I remember most about that game, besides just kicking their tail, was in the first half, Todd called an onside kick like three times in a row.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. He just went for the jugular. And I remember being on the sideline and him just kind of winking at me. you know, as it was happening. And that really is bringing a smile to my face right now, just thinking about that. And that was a good team. I mean, you look at that team, you guys probably remember better than me, but there's four, five, six guys that played in the NFL off that team between, you know, Ito Smith and Nick and Michael Thomas.
Yeah, he's the one who had the catch.
Jalen Richard, the offensive tackle. Rashad. I can't remember Rashad's last name. The 6'7" left tackle. Yeah. But I mean, that was a hell of a team. Yeah. You know, a hell of a team, and it happened pretty quick. And the last thing I'm going to mention on this, and it's a story I've told many times, is, you know, when we got to Southern Miss, you know, there was the regime change, you know, of the president and General Hammond, who did great things, and Ellis Johnson, who I didn't know, but it was just a transition, right? And it was kind of all encompassing, and you know, that previous season the team had been 0-12, and again started the season, Todd's first year, at either 0-10 or 0-11. I think 0-11, because I think it was a 12-game season, but I could be off by one. But I remember about maybe eight games in, when we were like 0-8. I remember going down to the coast and having lunch with a donor, and I remember the despair I saw in his face. And this was someone who, he'll go unnamed, but he loved Southern Miss football and decades of support, and he was just feeling despair. Like, holy smokes. And at that point, it was, let's call it a 20-game losing streak. And he just did not have hope or see it ahead. And I remember sitting with him at lunch and trying to give him a dose of hope. And he said, why do you feel that way? What do you see? And what I saw was, and I saw it from day one with Todd and throughout that season, even while losing. I would go out there on Sunday nights to see their walkthrough after having been beaten the day before. And I saw the energy, the enthusiasm, the focus every week. Every week, every Sunday night, I saw that. And secondly, in the locker room, after these losses continued to mount, I saw the way Coach Monken spoke to the team. I saw the way they locked in on him. I saw how he never blamed the players, ever. You know, he took it on his own shoulders and on the shoulders of the men on his staff. He just kept continuing to teach. And I just could feel it happening. Could feel it happening. And then I will tell you, though, to go to UAP on that final game, and that Golden Eagle team was not good offensively, as brilliant as he is. That team was not good offensively. You know, Nick took over about halfway into that season. And had trouble scoring all year long, and then went to Birmingham and put, I don't know, 55-65 on UAB in that particular game. And recruiting started the next day. It was the first day they could go out on the road. And I really feel like that game, had they not won it, I don't know how things would have unfolded the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Because they would have been going into recruiting that next day with a 23 or 24 game losing streak. Instead, Todd and that staff went into Holmes, having just put 60-something on UAB. The streak was over, so that narrative was done that they would have been facing. And there was a sense of optimism and a whole bunch of really good players coming back. And so I really think that catapulted the program forward. And then they won, I think, three of the next – and then nine, you know, they went 9-3 before the Conference USA Championship game and the bowl game that they lost to the UW to finish 9-5. But, you know, that was just, and I know you guys enjoyed that as well. I mean, that was just a great time for Southern Miss football. You know, and I'm looking forward to those days ahead as well.
Well, I know we're going up against a commercial break here pretty quickly, but Coach McGillis, I want to, on the other side of the commercial break, I want to talk about, you know, you're retired now, you work as a consultant to universities across the country. We want to talk a little bit about how the NIL world is now reshaping the thinking of athletic directors.
Perfect.
But I also want to talk about contracts, because the one question that we get all the time is, Why are head coaches so special that they can sign a contract and not have to live up to their end of the deal, but if they get fired, a university has to pay them? They're the only about the only people in the world that can become millionaires by doing poorly at their job. So we'll talk a little
bit
about
that. We'll address that on the other side of the break. And real quickly, I will just say that if you haven't seen the video of what Mr. McGillis is talking about, Todd Monken addressing the kids after the UAB win and broke the losing streak, you need to watch it. And if you don't get tears in your eyes, you're not a real Golden Eagle. Would you agree with that, Mr. McGillis?
I would, and I'm going to go watch it again because I haven't watched it since that year.
It's remarkable. All right, we've got Bill McGillis on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Coming later, Turner Swistak. Lots to talk about. Enjoying our conversation with our former AD, and we'll continue that on the other side of this break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of our program, campusbookmart.net. If you listen in other parts of the state or listen to the podcast and live in another part of the country, campusbookmart.net. Speaking of the podcast, Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast continues to grow. You can hear it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We've got former AD Bill McGillis on the phone with us. Mr. McGillis, we got a kid coming up on the show here shortly who is a pitcher at Louisiana Tech, formerly at Tennessee, and Kelly shows me his Facebook page earlier today where he is displaying his new line of apparel that this player is selling. I'm an old school guy. I'm having trouble getting used to this. Your thoughts about NIL and how it's changed college athletics?
Yeah, I generally speaking, I don't like it, and the portal as well, which if time permits, we'll get into that. But it is the new reality, and you know, it's interesting. At this point in my career, I feel really good about having left that AD seat because it is so difficult today, so complicated in the new environment, and I just don't fundamentally believe in some of the things we're doing now in college athletics. Having said that, I've got one son who is a senior associate AD at Arkansas, who's 32 years old. Will McGillis, when he's done, when he retires from baseball, or they retire him whenever that day comes, he'll probably work in college athletics. And I think that people will adapt to the new environment, and it's just the way it is, Bob, and it's the way it's going to be going forward. And I'm kind of moving past the kicking and screaming. Fundamentally, you and I would be in the same place. And here's the thing for me. I believe in the concept of students benefiting from name, image, and likeness. I believe in that. So in a case of a Caitlin Clark, That is real. That is name, image, and likeness. Zion Williamson, when he played basketball at Duke, the gymnast at LSU, the Cavender twins, there are about 1 or 2% And in fact, you might be able to count them on two hands, four hands, six hands nationally that are legitimately name, image, and likeness. I believe in that young women and men should be able to benefit from their name, image, and likeness and be compensated for it conceptually. But that's not where we are. This is all pay for play, as you well know. So I don't, you know, I'm preaching to the choir probably. At least to you, Bob. I don't know about what, you know, Dima and you know, Kelly.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you too, Bill.
But I think it's just it's that is the way forward. You know, as things evolve, I think they will kind of settle down on both fronts in the next year or two.
Okay.
But if, you know, if we're simply raising the floor, you know, take the Sun Belt, for example. You know, if everybody in the Sun Belt scrambles around in football, you know, and offers 10,000 here and 25,000 here, and a top end guy is 50, and everybody does it, you know, yeah, I just don't see the benefit, the value. And the other thing, and this goes back maybe to being old school, but I'm not ashamed of this. It is mind-blowing to me how there is no discussion in recruiting about education, the quality of education, or a young woman or man wanting to go to this school, you know, for the education, the school of business, school of communications, the excellent faculty, the value of that degree from that school. I mean, it's so limited, the discussion about that, and really what it seems to me kids are considering today. I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good thing, and I don't yeah. believe in it. I talked to a colleague of mine at an SEC school, you know, that had a coaching change, and I asked them, you know, with that change, you know, the players at this school obviously could go on the market, and there was speculation that they would, and you know, and so that school had to pay a certain number of players a certain amount to stay. I just think that's nonsense. Yeah. I just think it's total nonsense. But I do think things will settle down. We will all accept this new environment, and athletic directors and rising administrators and rising coaches will all adapt, and in 5 years, we'll be fine.
All right, let me ask you then as far as adapting goes, Bill, because one of the things, and we don't have to name a name here, but Southern Miss had a football coach that was fired after 1 year, and the university still had to pay this gentleman a lot of money for a job that he did not do by any standards, you know, at least by the litmus test of the general public, did a very good job. Why are football coaches so special that they can become millionaires when their assistant coaches get canned, they don't get 4 years on their deals? And when are schools going to start telling football coaches, this is the job, this is what it pays, but there will be no buyout, dude. If you stink, you're gone.
Well, it's simply it is simply a function of the market and who has the leverage. So, you know, if that coach has a very good job, which he did prior to Southern Miss, but I mean, that's just one example, right? We could come up
sure.
with 100.
Of course.
Has a very good job where they are, and you want to hire that person, and they are at that point, you view that candidate as elite. In order for them to move from where they are, you know, they're not going to do it without an investment and a contractual commitment that is in their favor.
Right,
and so many of these things, it's all about who has the leverage in a particular case.
All right, but
you
on,
know,
but
go
on
ahead.
The other side of the coin, if they leave early, why don't universities pursue the money that, you know, say, hey, we signed a deal. We made a deal.
Well, they do. I mean, Jim Schlossnagel is, you know, leaving Texas A&M to go to Texas to be their baseball coach.
Right.
You know, that got announced last night. It's reported, I don't have the contract in front of me, but it's reported that he owes Texas A&M between $2.4 and $2.7 million.
Okay.
And I think with the Jimbo Fisher contract at A&M...
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
They learned from that, and they insisted when making Jim Schlossnagel one of the five highest-paid coaches in the country, that if he chose to leave at some point, he was going to owe them a lot of money. And so that does occur.
Good.
And now whether he pays it or Texas pays it on his behalf, through one of those means, A&M is going to get, you know, 2.4 to 2.7 million based on reports.
Maybe that'll put a dent in the $75 million they owe Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. But I do agree with you. So that is the why. It's all about the market conditions, who has leverage during the hiring process.
I still think it's...
And oftentimes, that is a coach. Now I will say, though, that it's obscene, the amount of money. And that's why we got to this pay-for-play. Let's be honest. We got to pay-for-play under the guise of NIL because of the outrageous level of compensation at the highest level of intercollegiate athletics, and the outrageous amount of these buyouts that schools are paying, you know, when they terminate a coach or when they hire a coach. I mean, the University of Texas has one of the two highest budgets in college athletics, but it's still obscene to me that if what's reported is true, that they're going to pay over $2 million on his behalf to Texas A&M, or they're gonna gross up his compensation to account for that so that he can pay them. You know, it's because of decisions and numbers like that that we got to name, image, and likeness and paying players, because, you know, it's hard to explain that. It's hard to explain how you can pay one school $2.5 million to buy their coach away, and yet the young women and men in the program are entitled to nothing. So that's we created our own dilemma. It's unfortunate. The toothpaste is out of the tube, and it's not going back in the tube.
Mr. McGillis, always great pleasure talking to you. And again, thank you for all the kindness you showed me when you were here. And we'll invite you back real soon if you're willing to spend some more time with us.
Sounds great. Anytime, guys.
All right.
SMCTT.
There we go. Bill Bye-bye. McGillis, former athletics director at Southern Miss.
Should have gotten into the head coaching business.
Let's visit him out in San Diego and do the show live from out there.
I'm for that. I'll take you to Coronado Island.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You'll buy lunch.
If y'all pay the gas.
Yeah. Have a couple $100 would be my guess for lunch, but great. And I meant what I said. He was always very, very kind to all of us. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank athletics director, former athletics director, Bill McGillis, for joining us from beautiful San Diego, California. Kelly's going to take Diva and I out to Coronado Island for a weekend.
I didn't know
Man,
that.
You just let us know the date. And
you know, I was thinking, he said $2.5 million buyout. Think of how many salmon pants you could buy for San Diego.
He could have a new pair of salmon shorts for
every single day for the rest of your life.
If I take you to Coronado Island, though, I hope you guys know how to swim.
All right, this segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. We want to get right to it. Turner Swistak joins us, and this young man was a great baseball player at Oak Grove Pearl River Community College, pitched a year for Tennessee, and now pitches for a great rival of the Golden Eagles, Louisiana Tech. And Turner, before I turn it over to the guys, so you'll know, believe it or not, and I want you to close your eyes and picture this, Turner. Kelly came into the studio yesterday wearing pink shorts and a matching shirt.
Oh, Lord. I'm sure that was a fit.
And for the record, it was not pink. It was salmon. I keep telling
salmon,
you that.
Salmon, my God.
You got to get the term correct.
Yeah, that's right. And actually,
big difference.
As Turner Swistak joins us, we'll just call him T-Swiss. Not like T-Swift, but T-Swiss. You were a part of that Tennessee team last year, of course, that just won the Natty. You got to win a Natty at Pearl River Community College. Turner, did you have some idea that Tennessee team was going to develop into the juggernaut that it turned out to be this year?
Yeah, no doubt. I was kind of on the same side as a lot of people. Obviously, they lost a ton of pitching, but, they were returning a good group. Obviously, Vitello does a great job in the portal every year since it's opened. I definitely knew that team had the talent and, had the character and really everything you need to have a championship team. So, it was cool to see that group of guys put it together and, win the whole thing.
What is it like behind the scenes in a program like that?
I mean, in all honesty, it's a ton of hard work. Things like that, things like winning a championship don't come without it. So, that team worked their tail off. And, I use the word deserve lightly, but, that team deserves what they got.
Now, Turner, your dad, this interview is about you, but, of course, a lot of kids wind up being a lot like their parents and their likes and dislikes and so on. Your dad put together a pretty good collegiate career, culminating with some years at Georgia in the SEC and then went to Middle Tennessee, which is in Conference USA. You kind of followed the same route, Tennessee in the SEC, then La Tech in Conference USA, where you guys won the title this year. How are you different as a pitcher today than maybe the first day you took the field at Pearl River?
As a pitcher, I think the older you get, the more mature as a pitcher you get, the more you really start to understand the nuances of what it takes to, navigate through a lineup, especially as a starting pitcher, learning. One term we use here a lot is execution over effort. I think just simple things like that to where you mature as a pitcher and just really, really learning the nuances of what it takes to be successful at this game.
You hear the phrase, too, that there are throwers and there are pitchers. To the lay person at home, educate us as to that difference.
When you hear that term, you think on the thrower side, it's a guy that's getting on the mound, and he's really just trying to throw the ball as hard as he can by somebody. And, in today's game, when you see guys on TV throwing 100, some guys can get away with that, but the average college pitcher that, has around a 90-mile-an-hour fastball and maybe one or two off-speed pitches that he can locate a little bit, you can't just throw those pitches down the middle of the plate and expect college hitters to miss them. So on the flip side, being a pitcher, you really have to understand the importance of locating pitches, knowing where to miss. So if you're throwing a fastball in the outside corner in an 0-0 count where a hitter might know it's coming, your miss might want to be a little bit off the plate opposed to being in the middle of the plate to where the hitter's looking to hit. So I guess that'd be kind of an easy way to put it. But, yeah, there's definitely a difference between a thrower and a pitcher. And to be successful at this game, even the guys that throw hard, you still have to know how to pitch. So.
A lot of people, especially the old-timers like me, are having trouble wrapping their minds around the NIL. I mean, on your social media today, great picture of you with all the personalized Turner Swistak swag that fans – can now access. So now not only do you have to worry about your grades, not only do you have to worry about excelling on the mound, but now you got to worry about public appearances, commercials for local car dealerships, yada, yada, yada. How are you addressing NIL, and why are people like me having trouble wrapping our minds around it, Turner?
Honestly, it's changed the way today's college sports are ran. I heard somebody not too long ago put it in a great way, saying that after every season now, at every school, every player is on a one-year free agent deal. So pretty much meaning, so say if you're at a school like La Tech or a mid-major school and you really excel, you have an All-American, All-Conference type season, after that season, there's a really high guarantee that you can enter your name into the portal, and because you already showed that you can put up numbers at these smaller schools that, in all honesty, don't have the amount of NIL opportunity as these bigger Power 5 schools, you can enter your name in the portal and, you can do like a Major League Baseball player does, and you can have a minimum number. I've seen it with tons of guys, especially being at Tennessee last year where NIL is super prevalent. You can go to coaches and say, hey, I want to come play for you, but I need this amount of money. So, and then these bigger schools are able to, work around these numbers and really help out players financially.
Turner, you know, a lot of us guys who cover the sport and even on this radio show will often criticize NIL in certain aspects and just not in agree with it. But I'm just interested from a player's perspective and maybe some players around you, you know, whatever. What is do y'all, I mean, obviously you like the money coming in, but what is your opinion of the NIL situation that's going on in college athletics?
You know, I'm personally a fan of it, being a college athlete and understanding how hard it is to, you know, maintain being financially stable and having enough money to go out to eat and, you know, hang out with your buddies, do whatnot. So I'm a fan of it in that aspect. But also a part of me believes that there should be some kind of cap because a lot of these schools like Tech, you know, we haven't personally hurt from it, given that we haven't really lost any of our best players to it. But there's other schools that you see, like I said, the best players have an all-conference season, all-American season, and then look to go somewhere bigger. So in my opinion, there should be some kind of maybe cap on it in terms of how much money can be thrown around, because some of the numbers that you'll hear and that I've heard are ridiculous, and just, I mean, absolutely ridiculous. But at the same time, being a college athlete and understanding, you know, how hard it is to play a college sport, and then, you know, some guys might try to have a job, which is near impossible on the side.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of it, but then again, there's some ridiculousness to it that can maybe be, you know, contained a little bit, in my opinion.
Well, so with some of these guys getting, you know, becoming bow-legged with money, does the education, and Bill McGillis pointed out this in the first couple of segments, former Southern Miss Athletic Director Bill McGillis, who was with us, he says it's almost now that with them making the money, the college degree, nobody really even necessarily cares about that anymore. That's put way on the back burner. What say you?
Well, granted that you still have to pass classes to be eligible, you can put it on the back burner a little bit, but at the end of the day, you still have to show up to class and make C's. So, you know, if you want to be an athlete that comes to college and all you care about is money and what you do on the field and you put your classes on the side, and you better hope you have some good tutors or a girlfriend that can maybe help you pass classes. You still have to pass your classes to be on the field. So, you know, there's that aspect of it. And, you know, it is true. A lot of guys, you know, will put academics off to the side. But, I mean, I've seen athletes stress as much as an athlete can stress come the end of a semester when they're borderline a D, trying to make a C in a class just so they can play the next season. So, yeah, that is definitely true that some athletes will put their focuses in other places and kind of throw academics to the back burner. But at the end of the day, you still have to pass to be on the field.
Now, Turner Swistack fans can now have available to them T-Swiss merchandise. You know, you're wearing 34 after Nolan Ryan. Your middle name is Nolan. So Turner Nolan, or is it Turner Ryan?
Turner Nolan Swistack.
Yeah, it is Turner Nolan Swistack. So you're wearing 34. People can get that swag. So that's part of that NIL thing that you, which you should be able to.
No doubt. Know,
if it's your name on the back and so on, you ought to be able to. So is there merchandise that I too could get, Turner?
You know, I don't know if we have sizes big enough, but I might have to talk to our distributor, see what they can do.
how many? I don't know.
I can make something work.
Why don't you give a guess to see what Kelly wears?
I'm gonna go around a 3-4X if we're gonna be honest on the show.
3-4X.
Actually, you're being generous. Way to go, Turner.
Nice.
Where's the ding?
Good. I want to still be friends with you after this, Kelly.
Yeah. So what? Bring us up to date as a Hattiesburg, you know, Oak Grove native. What are you doing this summer, real quick?
All right. So as of now, I'm staying in kind of the Ruston area. Training. So the first half of the summer, kind of taking an off-season approach, working on kind of getting bigger, faster, stronger, whatnot. And then July 7th, I actually fly to Vermont to play in the Upper Valley Collegiate, or not the Upper Valley Collegiate League, the New England Collegiate League for the Upper Valley Nighthawks. I threw a substantial amount of innings, close to 60 this year. So our coaches here didn't put an emphasis on me playing the whole summer, but they did want me to get about 20, 25 more innings. So they kind of gave me a pick on which half of the summer I would like to play, and I picked the back half, kind of give myself a little downtime, a little bit of rest. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now, staying in Ruston, preparing to, you know, pitch for a month and then get back out of here.
Vermont is up north, Bob. It's probably pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, Turner, thanks for joining us. Real quick, we're running out of time, but there would be a surcharge if Kelly were to order a jersey because of the extra material. Is that pretty much correct, Turner?
there might be. If he wants one, I might be able to talk to somebody to get that taken off.
Hey, thanks for being on.
They do charge for extra fabric nowadays.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show, Turner. Best of luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. What a great kid. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of our program, and we encourage you to take your children there for baseball and softball training. It's a beautiful state-of-the-art facility, and Luke Reynolds runs the place. So if anybody knows about hitting, it's Luke Reynolds. DBAT on Hardy Street here in Hattiesburg. I want to say hello to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, Town and Country Cleaners, and Mobay Beignet Company. We appreciate all you guys, and we talk about them every day. You know, automobiles, dry cleaning services, great desserts. We appreciate all that they do for our program, and we mean that with total sincerity. We are starting a GoFundMe page, breaking this news. We want to try to raise enough money for Kelly to get a Turner Swistak jersey. And interesting. So, Kelly, are you on board?
You guys make it sound like I'm some kind of blimp, you know, like like I'm the fattest person to ever, you know, like I need some sort of cart to be wheeled around in or something, you know, my 600-pound life.
Well, we are installing a ramp to come into the building.
Yes, there is a ramp being put in the front of the building.
I'm husky, but I'm not, I wouldn't say that I'm fat.
He don't know what that means.
I'm thick.
Have you ever heard of that?
He's plump.
Have you heard of husky?
I don't know what that is.
Well, see, back in the day, if you were growing up, if you were a big kid, you had husky sizes.
Oh.
I guess that would insult somebody now. But
Well, like in blue jeans, you'd have straight leg, you'd have bell bottom, and you'd have husky.
Husky. Yeah. Husky. I wore a few huskies myself in my
see?
Day now.
You know?
Yeah.
But all that being said, there's no way I'm fitting in a 2X.
No.
You know?
No.
So.
Three?
Most of these things are made in China. And in China, the Chinese people are very small.
4X.
So if China's making it, it might be a 5.
You know? Good, nice.
Well, I'm just
saying. There's nothing wrong with it.
You know? No, it's just more of you to love, Kelly. That's the way I look at it.
That's right. That's right.
Kelly's working out, though. You've dropped a few LBs.
Been getting my steps. Well, yeah, but I mean, I've dropped 20 pounds, but that's like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic, you know.
Well, it's a start, brother.
Well, no, it
is. Yeah, it's a start. Come on.
Do you know what the Titanic is?
I do know what the
okay,
Titanic
I've
is.
Heard of
also
Titanic.
A great movie.
Yes.
Yeah, you have heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So news out of Conference USA. Louisiana didn't last long, and it's hunt for a new softball coach.
Yeah, Allison Habits. She is a Raging Cajun student athlete and renowned softball coach. She's been named the 5th head coach in Louisiana softball's history. She'll be formally introduced Friday, June 28th, so 2 days from now, in the stadium club.
Yeah, and she comes back home kind of from
back home,
Alabama, right?
She resumes her coaching career that includes 25 years of success with the University of Alabama's softball program. So she's recently served as an associate head coach from 2008 to 2023 with the Alabama softball team, who led the Crimson Tide to 6 SEC regular season titles, 5 SEC tournament titles, 14 College World Series appearances, and the 2012 national championship.
Well, I can think of worse places to move than Lafayette. I mean, there's a lot of good food in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Well, that is a great program, too, over there at Louisiana.
Program.
And just as Bill McGillis was talking earlier about Coach Schlossnagel leaving Texas A&M to go to Texas.
Now, illustrate this, Damon, because this is what's driving me insane about college athletics.
Apparently a lot
7 Texas A&M players are in the portal. And I hear the GoFundMe is also to get one of them to come to Southern Miss, right? Is that right, Mr. Bowen?
Yeah, we will do that.
It only needs about $3 million.
So here's the deal, Damon. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. Entering the portal, you have to enter the portal to transfer. So basically, You got seven ball players that are going to transfer from Texas A&M to Texas.
I mean, it's possible they go to Texas for sure, but, I mean, obviously they're not staying in Texas A&M. I mean, I think a few of them will go to Texas and follow their coach. It is all just funny. If you were on Twitter yesterday, I'm sure you had quite a few laughs. I cannot believe they let him post a statement from the Texas A&M website either. That was just wild.
And there are some reports surfacing that this deal was done before the college.
Before the World Series. Yeah,
before the college World Series ever started. And if that's the case, that stinks to high heaven.
Yeah, and it's not like Texas A&M doesn't have a good baseball program. They just played for the national championship.
Right, but the fact that those discussions were taking place at that time when –
that tampering?
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. But, I don't know. And then luckily, you know, we're not in that media market. We're not going to have to, you know, watch over that. But
I mean, the real question that I have is if they would have won the national championship.
Would he have left?
And the answer is yes. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty insane. And it goes to Kelly's point here.
And it's just money, 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 you know, all the time. But again.
And before that, he said, did you watch his interview the night before he went to Texas? He said he got on to the reporter for asking about his future. He said, that's a stupid question.
I think Mr. McGillis is right. I think it's probably the behavior of coaches that created all of this in the beginning.
Yeah, leave for bigger
contracts
pastures.
Contracts mean nothing to a Division I athletic coach.
You know, talk to me in dollar signs.
Like I said in the middle of the show, should have been a head coach.
Yeah, I thought about that myself.
So, Bob, you're not going to be with us tomorrow.
No, I will not.
Yeah,
no,
but we're going to have Shelton Gandy, former Southern Miss running back, and
Heath Hinton, who will be talking about a new website for Big 12
Nation. Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. It should go up on southernmiss.rivals.com.
And then Fan Friday. Open phones Friday.
Dema started this, and we have opened the Pandora's box. There's no question about that.
It's been a good 2 weeks, though.
Oh, we love it, and we look forward to it every week. All right, Dema and Kelly and Michael Mergens, Chicago Bear fame, will be handling the show tomorrow. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle. See, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I know through the revolution. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.